Well, it's very good to see you today. I hope you had a very Merry Christmas, and I hope you are looking forward to a Happy New Year. And as is my preference, and something that there's no doubt that this is what I wanted to do, I always enjoy the last Sunday of the year talking about what it means to be happy in the new year. Many people are going to wish you a Happy New Year. And I'm guessing this coming week, even you're going to be wishing other people a Happy New Year as well. And there's many reasons why people will say Happy New Year, and they even get excited right as they think about the new year. For some, it's just, I want to say goodbye to the old year, you know? There's a lot of things that were bad this past year, maybe things I failed in. And for other people, it's just, I want to rejoice in the new year and the excitement of it, the promises of it. In fact, for a lot of people, this is a key time to make New Year's resolutions. And if you want to make resolutions that you believe honor the Lord, I think this is a great time to do it. I mean, it's always a good time to do it. Every year, it's interesting, basically the same five New Year's resolutions are repeated again and again and again, which maybe suggests a lot of people don't keep them, okay? But you say, what are they? I don't think you'll find this surprising at all. Number one is diet or eating healthier. Number two is exercising more. Number three is losing weight. All of those kind of grouped together. Number four is financial, saving more money or spending less. Number five is learning a new skill or a hobby. Again, I think if done to God's glory, all of those would be wonderful things to give prayerful thought about and even to resolve to do this coming year. But I want to talk this morning about something that I believe is more foundational than any of those by far. In fact, I'm going to call it the true foundation of happiness. I'm convinced that every single person wants to be happy. I think that's true of people, whether you're a Christian or not. All people want to be happy. And there are many Christians who would argue for that same thing. Jonathan Edwards was one of them. C.S. Lewis, another. Somebody still alive, John Piper, is well known for making that point. Every person wants to be happy. And our problem is not that we don't focus on happiness. It's that we don't look for it in the right place. It's not that looking for it is wrong. It's that we just don't understand the real way to find happiness. You say, what would that be? Well, for me, it's knowing God. It's knowing Him well, and it's fellowshipping with Him regardless of what He brings your way. And the only way to have that kind of positive spiritual attitude, that regardless of what comes my way, I can have a blessed life, is to know Him well. And the only way to know Him well is to spend time fellowshipping with Him in the Word. Many of you know the psalm that's the longest psalm in all the Bible focuses on the Scriptures. Every one of its 176 verses, with just a handful of exceptions, talks about the Bible. We obviously aren't going to go through Psalm 119, but I spent some time in it this week, and I kept being grabbed by the first two verses. Notice they're on the screen. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their hearts. I'd like to set aside what the verse teaches. We'll come back to it at the very end. And I'd like to just point out that one word repeated twice at the beginning of both verses. It's the word blessed. According to the psalm, there are people that are blessed. There are people that have a life that you would look at them and you would say, wow, you are fortunate. That's what the word means. God has been good to you. And that's even how we use that word today. Based on this text, as well as many others, I'm going to make the point, if you want to have a Happy New Year, number one, you can, because it's possible to have a blessed New Year. You can have it. Regardless of what you're struggling with today, there are people in our church family that are facing really big challenges, and they're praying very specifically and pointedly about a situation that's very hard. And there's more than one, and I'm not thinking about anyone. For some, it's health. For some, it's finances. For some, it's educational, vocational. For some, it's marriages. For some, it's kids. For others, it's parents. It's, for some, it's many of those things. And yet, I'm going to make the point that you can still have a blessed New Year. Because the Bible says what? Let's just go back to the verse. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. That is something any one of us can have. The word blessed, here's a definition of it. Being highly favored or fortunate as if by divine grace. And again, especially in the South, that word is still used that way. People will say, you're so blessed to have good health at your age. You're so blessed to have such a nice family. You're so blessed to have such a good career or a good job. You're so blessed to have such good academic abilities and get good grades. You're so blessed to have skill in cooking or woodworking. You're so blessed to live in a beautiful home. And all of that are people indicating, recognizing that there's something true about you that's a gift from God. And in a sense, spiritually, you've been favored. And this word blessed, it's not the idea that people look at you and say, you're blessed, yeah, but I'm not feeling it. It's the idea, no, that you too recognize that you're blessed. And thus, you would rejoice. And so there are translations like the New Living Translation that translate the word blessed with the word joyful. Let me read the first two verses of Psalm 119 from the NLT. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey His laws and search for Him with all their hearts. So we can rephrase this first point this way. Maybe rather than saying you can have a blessed New Year, I'm convinced that based on the Bible, you can have a joyful New Year. Now here's what I'd like you to do. Think about one thing in your life that you're really grateful for. Okay? Think about one thing. It could be a person. It could be an event. Whatever. Think about something that you truly have a sense that God has blessed you in this one area. And I would like to think there's more than one. But would you think about that one right now? Doesn't that bring a sense of joy to you? Wouldn't you say that regardless of what else is going on in your life, that you experience even happiness when you reflect on that one specific place where God has just blessed you in a way that gives you a profound sense of, yes, I am fortunate. God has been good. You say, Greg, are you suggesting that you could translate the word joyful as happy? Yes, that's exactly what the Holman Christian Standard Bible does. Let me read the first two verses of Psalm 119. How happy are those whose way is blameless, who live according to the Lord's instruction. Happy are those who keep His decrees and seek Him with all their heart. Now, I know that maybe for some you might hesitate to want to use the word happy. But the Holman Christian Standard Bible, out of the 44 times that this Hebrew word occurs in the Old Testament, 40 of them are translated with the word happy. And probably, I guess we would all say it goes back to how we define the word happiness, right? If you say, Greg, what do you think about college football? I'm happy my two favorite teams are in the playoffs, okay? You say, what do you think about who's playing whom? I'm not happy that my two favorite teams are playing each other, okay? I already know who I'm rooting for in the second game, okay? But the first game, it's a challenging thing. We're not using happy in that frivolous way. My football team won. Okay, I found a $5 bill walking down the street. We're using the word happy in the sense, again, of I am fortunate. God has blessed me. And I'm thankful and I'm rejoicing in God's specific goodness to me. Using the word happy in that way, That means we could then what? Make our first point of the message. And here's how I'm going to leave it. I won't change it anymore. Rather than saying you can have a blessed new year, rather than saying you can have a joyful new year, I'm going to word it this way. Number one, you can have a happy new year. I believe that with all my heart. Not based on me, based on the Scriptures. And there are people, Christians, who would disagree with me on this. And I know that. There are Christians who love Jesus who will say, Greg, that's not possible. The fact is, God actually ordains periods of depression that come into your life like tides of the sea. And you can't fight these mood tides, if that's the word you want to use for them. And God doesn't want us to have joy all the time. I can't come to that conclusion based on Scripture. Maybe experience, yes, but not based on the Scripture. I'm going to push hard this morning on this point. I believe if you know Jesus, you can have a happy new year, regardless of health, even though I hope you have good health. Regardless of finances, even though I hope you're financially doing well. Regardless of your family, even though I hope that your family's doing well. You can have a happy new year. You say, Greg, how? That'll be beginning with our second point. I've taken these 44 different verses that have this word for blessed, joy, happiness, that one Hebrew word. And I've spent a lot of time this week just reading them over, meditating on them. And you say, how could you be happy just limiting yourself to these 44 verses that have this word? It's actually not complicated. I can have a happy new year knowing that happiness begins with knowing God. First of all, I have to have a relationship with God. Deuteronomy 33:29, and all of these verses are coming out of the Holman Christian Standard Bible. How happy you are, Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? He's the shield that protects you, the sword you boast in. Man, you're happy. Because why? God has saved you. You know this. Israel is God's chosen people. God chooses to do for this nation what He doesn't necessarily do for other nations. And if you're part of Israel in this Old Testament economy, you would be saying, yes, we are blessed. We are joyful. We are happy. Maybe another verse that will help us with this is Psalm 33:12. Happy is the nation whose God is Yahweh, the people He has chosen to be His own possession. Why was Israel God's chosen people? It wasn't anything Israel did. It was God's grace. But if you today would put your faith in Jesus Christ, I hope you already have, and you're a follower of Jesus, you're one of God's chosen people. And you should be able to say, I'm happy that my God is Yahweh. Many of you know. In your ESV, NASB, the translation that many of us read, you'll see the word Lord in all capital letters, capital L-O-R-D. It's actually God's covenant name, Yahweh. And the Holman actually translates it as Yahweh, which I think is a very helpful thing to do. I'm so happy that my God is Yahweh, and He's chosen me to be His possession. No, I don't believe I'm part of Israel, but I still believe that reality is just as true for the new covenant believer who puts faith in Jesus Christ. How about another text, Psalm 144, verse 15. Happy are the people whose God is Yahweh. Just to think, I know God. I know the Lord, the one who's created all, the one who is right now sustaining all, the one who has a plan, and He's taking this whole thing to a specific place for a specific purpose, and I have a relationship with Him. Happy are the people whose God is Yahweh. You say, Greg, how do you know Him? Psalm 32 will help with that, verse 1 and 2. This is one of those few verses where they translate the word joyful. I put happy in brackets. How happy is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered? How happy is the man that the Lord does not charge, spirit is no deceit? The gospel in the Old Testament. Just this week, just recently, someone was talking to me and said, you know, in the Old Testament, so how is it that people actually get saved? And the question was like that, maybe not exactly like that. And I made the point, in the same way people get saved in the New Testament. No one in the Old Testament got saved by sacrificing an animal and believing that the blood of bulls and goats can take away our sins. Hebrews makes that clear. It doesn't work. But even in the Old Testament, people were looking forward to a coming Messiah. And they knew that animal sacrifice was a picture of a coming Messiah. That God would come in the flesh and die in our place. That the offspring of the woman would defeat the serpent. And how happy is the one who believes in Messiah, whose sin, transgression, is forgiven. It's covered, we would know, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. How happy is the man the Lord does not charge with sin, and whose spirit is in whose spirit is no deceit. Do you believe that? And my hope is all of us do. And yet I'm fairly confident that many of us don't think deeply about it. I mean, think about this, right? I mentioned Jonathan Edwards up front. Think about his classic sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. An angry God holding me, as it were, by a thread over the pit of a fiery hell, who is right and just to condemn me for my sin. And I could say nothing because I deserve it. And yet, all of my sin is forgiven. And I'll never be judged for my sin. It's all covered by the blood of Christ. And He will never charge, the Lord will never charge me with my sin because it's all been placed on Jesus. And He suffered and died in my place. He's raised from the dead, and now I'm forgiven. And it's all His grace. How happy is the one who knows these things and focuses on the gospel? That's where happiness begins. It begins with knowing God. My guess is at least some of you are thinking, Greg, I know of a lot of people that are believers in Jesus. They absolutely know the gospel, and they are not happy people. Okay? You say, what do you think about that? Well, number one, I'm just telling you what, I apologize that you know people like that. I don't know what else to say. It shouldn't be true. I know it's true, but it shouldn't be true. See, I think one of the things is, I'm going to go back to knowing God. We don't know Him well. Just this weekend, Nancy and I were with another couple from church that they're here this morning, and they mentioned to me, they said, you know, there's a movie we saw called Indivisible. And it's about a chaplain, and he knows Jesus, and he wants people to put faith in Jesus. It's a true story from what I understand. And he's activated. He goes into Iraq. I believe it's Iraq or Afghanistan, one of those. And he's there, and he wants people to trust in Jesus. A young man puts faith in Christ. He's baptized. Here's the chaplain rejoicing. He's reaching out to another guy, and God's working in his life. Here's the chaplain rejoicing. There's some type of attack, and the young man who just put faith in Christ is killed, and the second man is now missing a limb. And if I'm following the storyline correctly, the chaplain plunges into depression, and he just kind of struggles. And people would call it post-traumatic stress disorder. And if that's what you want to call it, that's fine. If you watch the movie, it's a crisis of faith. Because, see, the chaplain is thinking, if you believe in Jesus, you don't die in the next bomb explosion. You don't lose a leg. Because don't you know that? Put your faith in Jesus, and then Jesus does everything you want. And you never suffer, and you never struggle. That's what most people tend to believe. Because they don't know God well. They don't know their Bibles well. People, that is not what the Scriptures teach. Now, the movie goes on and it's a happy ending. The guy suffers a lot, yet an older chaplain who knows God well takes the younger chaplain under his wing and counsels him and helps him. And that younger chaplain understands that he just wasn't thinking biblically about God, and everything works out and it's a happy ending. And again, the name of that, if that's interesting to you, is Indivisible. See, happiness begins with knowing God. It doesn't mean you'll never face struggles. It does mean, let's have a third point, that happiness continues with trusting God even in the midst of the trials and the suffering. For example, Psalm 2, verse 12. Happy is the man, or all those, who take refuge in Him are happy. Guys, just think about the phrase, take refuge. You don't take refuge unless you're being chased, unless you're in trouble, unless life is hard. And yet this text says, happy are those who take refuge in Him. The idea is you are facing a trial. How about Psalm 34, verse 8? Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the man who takes refuge in Him. Yes, life still gets hard, but I know where to run. I run to the Lord. I think Psalm 40, verse 4 is especially interesting. How happy is the man who has put his trust in the Lord. Notice the negative. And has not turned to the proud or to those who run after lies. Notice there's always two options. I can put my trust in the Lord, or I can run someplace else. I could turn to other people. I can turn to substances, right? We have all kinds of chemical abuse. We have alcohol abuse. We have illicit drug abuse. There are people that turn to illicit sex. There's people that turn to pornography. There's people that turn to their job and they just become workaholics, or they become TV-holics or video game addicts or whatever word you want to use. All of them are God's substitutes. People who find that life's not working well, sometimes believers, and rather than running to God, they turn to someone or something other than God. Yet happy is the man who has put his trust in the Lord. I love Psalm 84. Better is a day. Let me set this up. Here I am, and I'm thinking, you know, there's wicked people. And I got to be careful. When I say wicked, people who don't know Jesus. Let me just put it that way. There are people we all know who don't know Jesus, and they seem to have more stuff than us, better maybe marriages or families or jobs or houses or cars or whatever you're looking at. The psalmist says, better a day in your courts than a thousand anywhere else. I would rather be at the door of the house of my God than to live in the tent of wicked people. It continues in verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. He does not withhold the good from those who live with integrity. Happy, there's our word, blessed, joyful. Happy is the person who trusts in You, Lord of hosts. This is a repeat, but I'll repeat it. My worst day as a follower of Jesus is better than my best day of not knowing Jesus. And I know if you grew up in a Christian home, maybe, and you might not have that sense because in a sense you thought, I've always known Jesus. I'll simply say I'm happy for you if you grew up in a Christian home and have had good gospel teaching your whole life. And I rejoice with you, not down on you. In the best sense of the word, I envy you, if I put it that way. In the best sense of the word. But to realize God is so good, and I'd rather be with Him regardless of what else takes place. That's what's going on in Psalm 84. Proverbs 16:20 puts it this way. The one who trusts in the Lord will be happy. You say, but doesn't God bring things in our lives that aren't what we want? And the answer is, of course. Let me read Job 5:17 and 18. And this is Eliphaz speaking. See how happy the man is God corrects. So do not reject the discipline of the Almighty, for He crushes, but He also binds up, He strikes. but His hands also heal. You know, Greg, if you're so big on God's goodness, why does He bring all of this stuff in my life I don't like? Well, why does a surgeon sometimes pull out a knife and cut you? It's not because He hates you. It's not because He wants you to suffer. It's all for healing. See, when you know God well, you realize that, yes, God does bring into my life sometimes things that are crushing, that strike me, that hurt, things I don't want. And He does. But He's still my good Heavenly Father, and He's going to use it all for His glory and my good. And even though I don't like the process, I never doubt His character if I know Him well. And you might say, come on, Greg, that's Eliphaz speaking. How do we know He's even right? Okay. Let me give it to you in Psalm 94, verse 12, if this helps. Lord, happy is the man You discipline and teach from Your law. Discipline. Every one of us needs discipline, right? Sports, football. We used to always say to one another, no pain, no gain. No, the coach did not tell us to go run another lap because He hates us. He was getting us ready for the big game. And the fact of the matter is, no pain, no gain. And you know that's true in raising children. And that's true as God raises us. He intentionally brings times of trial into our life. Notice, I'm not even saying permits. He brings trials into our lives. But it's always for our good. It doesn't mean we have to like the trial. But we can rejoice that we know Him, that He's our good Heavenly Father, and that He's doing something well, something good, I guess I should say, in our lives. That's what the Scriptures teach. Happy is the man. I've explained this concept to many different people, and more than a few times I've had some, we'll just say, refusal, challenge. It goes something like this. So, Greg, you're telling me God really, really loves me, yeah. And God is good, yeah. And yet God turns around and now He disciplines me, so you're like saying, I need discipline. And I say, well, yeah, of course you do. I mean, is there anyone who would say, I'm already enough like Jesus, I don't need to grow? I mean, how can anybody be so proud and arrogant to say, I've arrived? I mean, if I were to say, who here needs to be more like Jesus, it's such a rhetorical, right, or nonsensical question. We all need to be more like Jesus. And if God, who loves me and is my Heavenly Father, my Good Shepherd, ordains to bring suffering into my world, and He disciplines me, and He's teaching me, and if I know Him well, I'll be okay with that. Doesn't mean I like it, but it's okay. And I can still be blessed, joyful, happy. If you will allow a personal illustration, just this past week, Nancy was talking to a physician. Nancy has had some symptoms that are problematic. Okay, so she talked to a healthcare official, whatever, servant, doctor, huh? That's the word I want. And the doctor said, okay, we need a CT scan. We need it done fairly quickly. Christmas Eve, you're having a CT scan. So Nancy came home and tells me this. She said, what do you think? I said, honey, doctors normally say, you know, in 2 weeks, if it's still there, come back and see me. Doctors don't normally say CT scan in 2 days. I don't care that it's Christmas Eve. Something's up, okay? And something is going on that's more than casual. So the last 2 days, on my mind, I've been thinking, well, I think life's going to change. Because my sense is, something more than casually wrong is wrong. You say, okay, so Greg, are you still happy? Just depends how well I know God. If I know Him well, and I know He loves me, and I know He loves my wife, and I really believe what I allegedly celebrated at Christmas, that He loves me enough to send His own Son, If I believe He's sovereign, if I believe He's a good shepherd, if I believe everything we've just went through so far, I know that what God brings into our lives is always for our good and His glory. And even if we find out something very bad, it's still fine. We can still have a happy new year. We can still have a happy year after year, however many years we have. That's true for everybody who knows God, who trusts in God. And you're thinking, come on, finish the story. Okay. So we go to the CT scan, and the gentleman or whoever says, you know what, we need to do some others. Let me get permission from the doctor so she stays a little longer. And we leave. And then later that day, we get contacted by a healthcare worker that says all of the tests are negative. Now, there's still symptoms, but all of the tests were negative. And we're thankful for that. And hopefully that means that the symptoms are caused by something less serious than what perchance they could have been caused by. You say, so what are you thinking? I'm thinking I'm going to have a happy new year. I'm thinking Nancy can have a happy new year. I'm thinking you can have a happy new year. Because happiness begins with knowing God, and happiness continues with trusting God. And if you say, okay, how do I do that? Final point, number four, to know God and to trust God and be happy. If you prefer joyful and blessed, you have to fellowship with God. It's not just something you could turn on one day and it always stays on. You must fellowship with God. For example, let's just review now verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 119 from the Holman. How happy are those whose way is blameless, who live according to the Lord's instruction. Happy are those who keep His decrees and seek after Him with all their heart. Who's happy? The person who lives a life that's blameless. And you might say, I can't be perfect. Well, perfect doesn't mean blameless. Let's define blameless in terms of the second part of verse 1. Who live according to the Lord's instruction. Don't live your own way. Live God's way. You say, how do I know what God's way is? You have to spend time in the Scriptures. You must spend time in this new year daily fellowshipping with God by reading His Word. You have to. I am convinced it's not an option. It is a means of grace that is required for all of us. If I'm going to respond well to the trials of life and experience happiness, I not only have to know God, I have to know Him well, and I have to fellowship with Him on a daily basis. And I'm not just talking about reading your Bible and checking a box. And people will sometimes say, Greg, I've tried this. I've read my Bible. I've read my whole Bible. I read through the whole Bible in 1 year. I checked every box. It doesn't work. Well, the very fact that you would say that shows me your heart's not in it. That's like saying, I took my wife on a date. I took her on many dates. I don't like it. Okay, it's not that dates don't work. Okay? Dates work. Hey, you see, I don't believe you. Ask your wife. Okay? All right. Most of us, our wives would say, yeah, we like dates. Okay. If your heart is, I want to encourage my wife. I want to be a blessing to my wife. I want to get to know her better. I want to have joy in our relationship. Let's do something special. Let's go on a date. And you're pursuing a better marriage. Guys, dates work, I promise you. And if your heart, notice the end of verse 2, Psalm 119. If you're seeking God with all your heart, not just, okay, I read, didn't work. I read, not happy. But Lord, I love You. And I want to know You better. And life's a little bit hard right now, maybe more than a little bit. But just remind me who You are. Show me Your glory. And the Bible says I can experience blessedness, joy, happiness. And you can. And you'll find Him. If that's the heart you have, happy are those who keep His decrees and seek Him with all their heart. Psalm 89, verse 15. Happy are the people who know the joyful shout. That's the idea of God's people coming together and saying, God is so awesome. Amen. And God's people would go, amen. Happy are those kind of people. They're just excited about knowing God. And they're so thankful for what He's done. They walk in the light of Your presence. Psalm 89, verse 15. I think many of us maybe even know by heart in a different translation, Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2. How happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path of sinners or join a group of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction and he meditates on it day and night. That guy is happy. I think many of us know verse 3. Let me read it. He's like a tree planted beside streams of water that bears its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. And that can be true for any one of us. If we know God, if we know Him well, and if we fellowship with Him. Psalm 112, verse 1, hallelujah, praise God. Happy is the man who fears the Lord and takes great delight in His commands. Notice my heart is what? Fear would be reverence. Lord, I'm coming to into your presence, not in a flippant way. I'm opening up the Scriptures as an act of worship, and I'm reading it. And I'm not only reading it, I'm taking great delight in what I read, Psalm 112. Verse 1, happy is that man. Psalm 128, verse 1, how happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. You can't show appropriate reverence to someone you don't know. You can't know the Lord apart from the Scriptures. Now, you can know something about Him through general revelation. I don't discount that. But you can't know Him well apart from spending time in the Scriptures. And you can't walk in His ways because you don't know what His ways are apart from spending time in the Scriptures. But for the person who does, happy is that person. Psalm 128, verse 1. Put this all together. I am arguing based on Scripture. You can have a happy new year regardless of what you're experiencing. It begins with knowing God. I trust that you have turned from your sin. You put your faith in Jesus. You believe the gospel. You're an active follower of Jesus Christ. And then it continues with trusting God. And when life gets hard, you don't come to the wrong conclusion. Oh no, this is bad. God's letting me down. Testimony from the first service. There's a woman who came up to me that I know well. And I guess I could say, I don't think this is a problem. I knew her mother-in-law well. And she's now with Jesus. Her mother-in-law was a believer. Her mother-in-law was raised in a different kind of church. And she wasn't taught to know God well. Every time something went wrong in her life, she thought God was mad at her. So every time something went wrong, she would think, what did I do? God's mad at me. What did I do? She didn't know God well. The woman that I was speaking to in the first service said to me, Greg, you know what I really appreciate about this church, you and Dr. Stuart Custer, our former pastor teacher, is you taught her that that's not the gospel. You taught her that God's not mad at you because Jesus took your sin. When trials come into your life, God is doing something good in your life. My mother-in-law never knew that. And she came to know that. And in those last 10, 15 years of her life, she grew more than her whole previous life as a Christian because she never had good teaching. The idea that, well, if something's not going well, God's mad at me, which is a common belief of those who don't know God well. But beloved, you can know Him well. You can trust Him. You can be happy and fellowship with Him and have a happy new year. You can have a happy new year, right? If you know Him. Secondly, if you trust Him. And thirdly, if you fellowship with God by way of His Word. I received an email this week. Now, I've been teaching a long time, so if I use a lot of illustrations, remember, it's not like it's happening all the time. I've taught for a long time. Dr. Mazak, you don't remember me, I'm sure. I had you in class, whatever, 5-10 years ago. But one day in class, you said you were going to help us to really understand how good God is, and you took two classes and you taught us the goodness of God. I've been a Christian a long time. I was raised in a Christian school. I went to a good church. And I don't know why, but I never really understood deeply God is good until that class. And that class so impacted me that, here's how the email continued. Later that semester, I got an email from my dad explaining that he left my mother to move in with one of my mother's girlfriends. And that email did not rock my world. I still knew God was good. My younger brother rejected Christ because of what my dad did. I would never reject Christ. God is good. And one issue or one period, time, season of suffering after another has come into my life, and yet I am still convinced that God is good. In fact, this is what he said. My wife and I have a little thing going on. Once a month, we invite unsaved people into our home and we have a dinner. And at this dinner, we just get to know people and we ask them one question. What is God like? And then we just let them say whatever they want. And they say many different things. And when they're all finished, I have an opportunity to say, can I tell you what I believe about God? I believe based on the Scripture that God is good. And I open up the Bible and I explain the goodness of God in the gospel. And this past year, we had a woman put faith in Jesus Christ. And I am so excited that I'm actually attaching a YouTube video of her baptism. I watched it. It was a great blessing. And he said it all goes back to a class. I'm not saying it's me. It all goes back to a class where the Scriptures just opened up. And I saw the goodness of God. And now I'm sharing that message with others. And I just wanted to thank you for sharing it with me. You can have a happy new year. And what is life? Life is a series of years. Let's change that statement. You can have a happy life. I believe that. I'm not saying you can get away without ever suffering. I'm not saying that everything in your life is going to go the way you want it. But based on the Scriptures, you can not only have a happy new year, you can have a happy life. Here's my concluding question. Will you plan to be happy in the new year? It will not happen unless you plan. Failing to plan is planning to fail. If I said to you, what are you doing for lunch this week? What are you doing for dinner each night? And you said, oh, I don't know. My guess is if you really meant that, you'd go hungry. Okay? I mean, you got to plan a little bit. You got to buy something. You have to make sure there's leftovers or restaurant you're going to, whatever the case might be. I'm going to make the point, if you want to have a happy year, you have to know God. You have to know Him well. You have to fellowship with Him. You can't do that unless you're in the Word. I want to challenge you this morning. Will you plan to spend time in God's Word this year? Will you plan to know God, trust in God, and fellowship with God in 2021 by way of daily spending time in the Scriptures? No, I'm not talking about just reading something to say I read it, but you can't know God without spending time in the Scriptures. You just can't. The Holy Spirit illumines our minds to the Scriptures and reveals, even as with that student that one day, reveals to us what God is really like. If I'm going to have a happy new year, I have to spend time reading God's Word. That's why I want to challenge you not only to do it, but to plan to do it. And if you've worshiped with us through the years, you could have anticipated this slide was coming. I am an absolute firm believer in planning to read God's Word. You don't. Maybe you'll read the whole Bible this year. Maybe you'll read through the New Testament this year. Maybe you'll read portions of the Scripture this year. There's many different plans. But I'm asking you, would you please prayerfully consider planning to fellowship with God by following a plan of Bible reading this year? 2 years ago, we did it as a church. And I encourage us, and many took me up on this, let's read the Bible together. Last year we did it by shepherd groups. And many of us read the Bible through this last year together by Shepherd Group. I encourage you not only to sign up and select a plan, would you do that with other people? Some of you received yesterday a text or an email from your elder. If you haven't, you should be receiving one even later today. And your elder is going to make a suggestion on how you, as a shepherd group, can plan to read Scripture together this year. I'm going to be reading through the Bible again this year in a plan I haven't used before. It's actually a monthly plan. It's called Read the Bible Together, and the first one, obviously, in January. Then Read the Bible Together in February, and Read the Bible Together in March. And it takes you through the whole Bible, but each plan separate to make it easier to jump on or jump off if you want to. I would encourage you to read with other people. If you would like to read with others in your shepherd group, I think that would be awesome. If you would like to join me in my plan, an email is going to go out, Lord willing, tomorrow. And there'll be more information. If you prefer not to read in your shepherd group, if you prefer, for whatever reason, not to read with your spouse or your kids, those are all good ways to read, and you would like to read with me, I welcome it. But I encourage you, get a plan, and I would encourage you to read with someone. Actually, join their plan. So let me clarify. I'm not talking about two people reading the same plan. I'm talking about people coming together. One person has to be the leader, signs up for the plan, and then invites others with a very specific URL that allows you to join me, and then we can see what we each write. And at the end of each day's reading, there's a little place for a note. And you can quote the favorite verse out of that reading, and many in my group this past year, that's what we would do. You can put a little prayer. Dear Jesus, forgive me for being proud. I need to be more humble like you. And many of the people in our group did this past year. Or you can just put a little statement. Lord, I'm so thankful that you're merciful, because it was about mercy. And many in our group would do that this past year. And if you like what the other person wrote, you just hit the like. And it encourages me to know I have brothers and sisters out there reading the Bible along with me. Nancy and I have enjoyed doing that with some of you this past year. I encourage you to do it with the shepherd group. If you want it again, to read through the Bible in monthly plans with Nancy and me, we'll be sending out a note on Monday. If you prefer to do it with your spouse, your parents, your kids, neighbors, whoever, I would encourage you to do it with someone. Failing to plan is planning to fail. You can have a happy new year. You can. Regardless of health, finances, vocation, academics, regardless of what's going on with your parents or your kids or your siblings. And please, I'm not minimizing. All of those can be very challenging. But in spite of that, I am convinced, based on the Scriptures, you can have a happy new year. I close. How happy are those whose way is blameless, who live according to the Lord's instruction. Happy are those who keep His decrees and seek Him with all their heart. May God give all of us a happy new year. Let's pray. Father, our hearts are grateful that you are so incredibly good. And every one of my brothers and sisters who know you well right now in their hearts are just saying amen. And Father, we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who has opened our minds, illumined our minds, and opened our hearts to the truth of your word, that we could see you truly are a good shepherd, a good father. You are a sovereign king, and you were willing to send your only son into a sin-cursed world to go to a cross to save sinful people like us. We rejoice that we can know you We rejoice that we can trust in you. And Father, we rejoice that we can fellowship with you. And we thank you that you've given us a revelation. And we've seen, even this morning, Lord, that regardless of what's going on in our lives, we can have a happy new year. We can have happy lives as we fellowship with you and trust in you, rely on you. And yet none of us, Father, has the ability to do that in our own strength. We need to be in your word. Father, I pray for every person who worships as part of the Trinity Bible Church family. I pray for those joining us online. I pray for those listening or watching a recording in the future sometime. That for every one of us, we would understand the importance of turning away from living life in our own way, but embracing the truth of your word, humbly accepting that we can't make it on our own. We need you. We need to fellowship with you on a daily basis. We need to be in the scriptures. And not just reading, but reading it with hearts that are open, with minds that are prayerful, searching for you, convinced that you reveal yourself to those who search for you. Lord, I pray that you would help it to truly be a happy new year for all of us, regardless of what comes, that we would know it can be a happy new year, and that we would know it because we know you, and we know you well. And we're learning to trust in you more and more, even as we daily spend time in your word. Father, please, may it be so. Oh, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.